And now we have Career Builder, and it's going to be with Robert Parkinson, founder and CEO of RMG Selection, a leading Asia-focused executive search business. Today we're going to talk about how to prepare for the interview and what questions these interviewers are going to expect you to know about the company. So how are you, Robert?
Yeah, really well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Happy St. Patrick's Day yesterday.
And to you,
I'm
indeed.
I'm not sure you celebrate it.
Yeah, I didn't have a Guinness, I might add.
Yeah.
So, indeed.
Good afternoon, Robert. Ningjing here.
Hello, Ningjing. How are you?
I'm good. So,
good stuff.
Yes. So why should job seekers prepare for company background information? This is the topic that we're going to discuss for this whole session, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, it's an interesting question, really, because, you know, there are clearly many, many reasons why, you know, you should be prepared for something. But I think the key to bring some of my 10 years of China experience to the table, I think the key reason that people, you know, applying for jobs right about now should really do their homework and prepare well is this, and that's because other people don't. You know, so if you do, if you're the one to prepare well, you immediately get yourself at the front of the queue. And, you know, if you use the metaphor of meeting people for the first time, you know, we tend to mentally make our decisions about people within, I think, the first 3 or 4 seconds of meeting someone new. And it's a bit the same with a job interview. You know, if you go in and you're prepared, you know about the company, and you're ready to drop a couple of, you know, not sit there and lecture the company chapter and verse about how much you know, but you have relevant information that you can deploy at the right time, you will impress people.
Yeah, having said that, I just have a question about this. It certainly won't look good if you really mess up the information about your potential, you know, employer. Would you say that it's an unforgivable mistake if you really mess it up?
Well, I think it's my answer to that would be it depends how you mess it up. If you're being disingenuous, or if you come across, if you pretend that you've done your homework when you haven't, as an employer myself, that's the time when I get irritated. If I meet someone who's interviewing with me at my company, and they are, and if I say, you know, have you done some research into the company, and they say yes, John, I've spent, you know, 2 or 3 hours reading up on it, and they really haven't. They've just spent, you know, 30 seconds reading your homepage on their iPhone before the interview. Then, you know, that to me, that's a bit of a mess up. So it's a question of being honest, because, you know, people who aren't honest, you can tell very easily by the way they come across. You know, the expression "it's written all over their face" came from somewhere, if you see what I mean.
But if I candidly say, for example, if I were interviewee, and I candidly tell you, my potential employer, that I just have a little information about your company, but I'm truly interested in getting this job, would you still be able to employ me?
Well, no, I don't think that situation would actually occur, because if you're truly interested in the job, then that isn't consistent with not doing your homework, notwithstanding, you know, family tragedies or some, you know, last minute horrendous event that means you haven't got time to, or the interview's arranged at the last minute. That would be a reasonable thing. But, you know, to sit there and say, yeah, I'm really interested, but I know nothing about the company and the job.
It's not like I know nothing about your company. I do not know everything. I just know very little, like limited information about your company. But for the position that you offered, I really know, you know, what I would do there. I know this position well, but then for the whole company, if it's like a big multinational,
yeah,
or if your company is not that big, then my access to information to your company is limited. So can I candidly say I've got limited knowledge about your company, but I know what I'm going to do about the position that you offer?
Let me tell you a story. Okay, so when I started my career 18 years ago, we had there was an office in London of 100 people, and we had one computer that connected to the internet. And there was a queue almost around the office to use that. You had, it's a bit like food rationing in the Second World War. You know, you had five to 10 minutes to use that every day. You know, today when the internet and therefore access to information is, you know, we have it in front of us all day at work. We have it when we're going home. We have it beside our bed at night. There is no excuse really not to do the homework. So that would be what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So I was interested if there is there certain things that about a company that you must need to know and that the employer expects you to know about them? Like, for example, if you're going to work in a bank or work in a business, they need to know the NASDAQ or how they did in trading the last quarter, like random things like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, and a lot of it will depend on who you're meeting. You know, if you're meeting a relatively junior HR person who's, you know, 6 months out of school, she'll be going through a checklist of basic information. Has this person got 5 years experience doing this? Has this person got 2 years experience doing that? But if you're meeting a CFO, say, of a listed company, you know, you're going to talk high level stuff, and you're going to need to know share price, company report, you know, movements in share price, all of that sort of thing. So it's a good question. It's relevant to the person that you're meeting, and so should your questions be relevant to the person you're meeting. You're not going to ask the managing director or CFO or CEO about working time or you know, travel budgets and stuff like that. You know, it's a question of asking the right person the right things.
Now, another thing I was thinking was very interesting is that, let's say you read up on some news, and this happened to me in the past, and there's something you find negative about the company, maybe a scandal or maybe a shortfall. Do you mention this and say, oh, maybe I can help out on the workload when it comes to this?
Yeah. Well, if I may say, that's where having a you know, good quality recruiting consultant, working with a good quality recruiting company can come in really handy, because you have an objective third party that you can ask about that sort of information. You know, there's a lot of misinformation put out there about companies. I can remember being employed 15 years ago in Europe to specifically repair a company's, I can't name them, of course, but a big US computer company, to repair their reputation in the marketplace by calling various candidates and so on. Because there was a lot of misinformation out there. There was a lot of misunderstanding about companies. And, you know, anyone who is going to be in a, who works in a relatively large company is not going to get on with everyone. And I've, you know, I think I've had some stuff written about me in the past on Baidu, Baika Baidu or something, which we had removed because it was total nonsense. There is information out there, and I think people have got to be measured about how they react to that information. And also, you know, they've got to be measured about who they're talking to, who they're listening to when they're discussing that sort of information.
So, Robert, what kind of information should we prepare before we go to a job interview?
Yeah, well, I think the key thing is, you know, what I always say the best sales tactic, and, you know, an interview is a sales meeting in a sense because you're selling yourself, is to know what the interviewer will not expect you to know. So, you know, if you're going in for an interview with a sales manager, yeah, you've got to know the basics. You've got to know what's, you know, who are their customers, what is their target company's sales territory that you're there to talk about. You've got to know the context. But then if you know other information as well, if you know, not gossip perhaps is the wrong word, but, you know, particular market information about the company, competitors, if you can show that you've clearly done your homework, and you've got the financials, you've got up-to-date reference check almost on the company, then that will impress people because they won't expect you to know that. And you see, the issue arises really because China has had such a buoyant jobs market for so long that people have kind of got used to this attitude of showing up for job interviews without enough preparation. And, you know, I have people come in sometimes who don't have a suit on, for example, you know, and come in their jeans and trainers. And it's a very short interview, I can tell you. So it's good to have that preparation. And the point is, surprise the person that you're talking to, you know, with information that they wouldn't expect you to have.
Now, I really liked that you mentioned about China, because is there actually any main differences between like a local company and like a transnational when it comes to what information they expect you to know about them?
Yeah, I mean, it's the interesting thing here is that, I mean, there are degrees, of course. You know, you have, you know, your ultra, as it were, Chinese state-owned enterprise, and that, you know, and then you have other Chinese private-owned companies and so on, and they, you know, they get more and more international as the scale goes along. But the what I always find interesting is the style of the interviewer in China versus overseas. Is overseas they're more interested in a general picture. So how you come across, they look very closely at cultural fear, you know, do we get on? Have we fallen in love? Is there chemistry there? Whereas what I tend to find with Chinese interviewers, and therefore what needs to be reflected in people's preparation, is that Chinese interviewers tend to want to go and really drill down into the detail. And, you know, if there's a gap, for example, on your CV, 10.5 years ago of 3 months, they might want to know, you know, what were you doing for that time and why, and, you know, so it's really going into in-depth information.
Robert, so we will be right back after this message.
No problem.
Studio Plus, a feast of news, culture, and views.
All right, let's go.
Tune in to meet some fascinating people. Share their stories.
China is one of the great creative countries.
Old Beijing style.
Exclusively Chinese musicals.
Studio Plus. Something fresh.
Then add in your mushroom.
Something fun. Something more. Studio Plus. Studio Plus.
That's right. You're listening to Studio Plus, and we're doing a career builder with Robert Parkinson. And so what was you're talking about the differences between local and foreign companies.
Yeah, I think it's I think with Chinese companies that you know, they will want to know the detail. They will expect precise answers. You know, they will want to perhaps do more due diligence, frankly, than foreign companies. But yeah, having said that, you know, it's perfectly true that a Dutch company will interview people in a different way to a British company or a German company or a French company. So to simply label things Chinese or non-Chinese, I think kind of misses the point a little bit. But my observation certainly is here that people, there is an emphasis, and I think it comes from, you know, university and so on, but there's an emphasis on almost box ticking, you know, has this person done this? Has this person done that? Whereas the more senior sort of people in the West are going to be looking at, you know, is this person a leader? What are their skills like? What are their values and beliefs like? Do those values and beliefs add up to our company's own values and beliefs? It's there's going to be a bit of difference there.
So, Robert, to the question, what do you know about our company? What is your way of begin? What do you say to answer this question?
I think what I would say is it's got to be something brief and concise, because it's got to be a way of opening up the subject. So, for example, if I was interviewing for my company, you know, if someone said something like, well, I know that you're a recruiting firm, you deal in mid to senior level recruiting, you have over 100 employees in China, and he won an award for the best website of the year last year. You know, that's short and sweet. It tells the interviewer a lot of information. They know that you contextualize the company. You know what sort of recruitment company you're talking about, because you know, you if you're dealing with the oil companies, you know, there's lots of different types of oil companies or different types of chemicals companies. You know, you have to contextualize it, and then just dropping one or two bits of information that show that you've dug further into the beneath the surface, and you've bothered to find out a little bit about you know, what the company's done, and some up-to-date relevant news. What that can then lead on to, and what's a good idea is, for example, I might extend my introduction to my company, and you know, I would might say, and I understand that one of your core values is teamwork. And, you know, and I might say, and the reason I'm interested in coming to see you today is because that's particularly important to me. Let me give you an example, and then we can use the feature benefit accomplishment, the FBA way of explaining things that we've talked about before. We can use that as a way of explaining how we're interested in the company. So the answer is short, be precise. Drop a sort of bomb of gold of relevant information that shows you've done your research, and give the interviewer plenty of time to come back and ask you follow up supplementary questions.
So I guess 1 minute will be an appropriate, or within 1 minute would be an appropriate time.
Exactly.
For that. Okay.
Exactly.
One more question. After you've done some research about this company, you sometimes know that this company belongs to this big shot and you really admire him. I've seen this scene on some reality shows, in job hunting reality shows in China, where a potential employee will kind of say, I really admire you, the boss, you know, and they kind of use flattering tones. Do you think that's a good practice?
Well, I guess, I think per se, you know, we use lots of different strategies in an interview situation. I think, you know, to highlighting in a subtle and understated way aspects that you find of the interviewer or of the company that you find genuinely compelling is not going to hurt you. But I would underline, excuse me, the word genuine, because if it isn't genuinely compelling, if you're just, you know, making it up, and if it's just you know, you're just layering on flattery that doesn't really mean too much, that will become self-evident very, very quickly.
Right.
That's what I'd say.
All right. Thank you, Robert. And we learned a lot, a great deal today. And thank you for your time.